I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Thanks for listening to the Primetime with Isaac and Souk. I'm Souk, by the way, podcast brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Ah, cute.
This is the week that splits families in half.
We are always men of war.
And I'm going to continue to say this as long as I can speak. Beaver football is changing.
This is the week that splits the platypus in half. This is a Civil War Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by A&A. Come celebrate with A&A and watch one of the nation's oldest college rivalries, Oregon's Civil War, at A&A's Rose and Thorn this Saturday.
It's Civil War Week with Isaac and Sue on 1080. The Fan.
All right, welcome back. It's our second hour of radio broadcast today. No TV today because the Blazers about to get underway. This ought to be good. Taking on the Sixers.
In the process.
Ben Simmons. Is that his name? Ben?
Ben, yeah. I remember calling his games when he was out here with Montford Academy in the LSI not that long ago. Just 2 years ago.
How good was he then?
He was ridiculously good to the point where he looked bored.
Yeah. He is a 6'10
point guard.
Point guard.
Yes.
About that.
He is a pure point guard.
He is 6'10. It's unbelievable. And then you add Joel Embiid, and that guy's like a Shaq, Hakeem Olajuwon.
Yeah, he's a freak.
Hybrid. I mean, they
Can he stay healthy?
Holy crap. But Simmons is averaging like 19, 8, and 9 as a rookie. That is unheard of as a rookie. He's like Magic Johnson. So Damian Lillard versus Ben Simmons, sign me up.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how they dole out the defensive assignments here.
Right. Right.
Because you've got, you got J.J. Redick, so somebody's got to chase him off all those screens.
C.J.
So who's Dame? Is Dame really going to try and match up with Simmons?
No, I think you got to slide Harkless over there.
So Harkless is over.
I think Evan Turner will get his time on him.
Yeah.
Be a nice game for Al-Farouq Aminu to be back, wouldn't it? But he's not.
He's not. I don't know. Maybe I'm the only person that's really not a Chief fan.
Well, I don't know if anybody's a Chief fan. I mean, it's maddening to watch him dribble around and watch him shoot, but he does a lot of good stuff for them. He's their number one defender. He's versatile.
Yeah.
Long.
I'm curious if we can see more of what we saw from Noah Vonleh against Memphis, where he had, 18 rebounds?
I don't know. See, now you're getting into the Vonlehs and the, Swanigan, I don't know.
Exactly. No, I feel the exact same way about this crew.
But it's, Connaughton.
Yeah.
They don't have a lot. It's not a great roster.
No.
Let's be honest. Everybody's bitching about Terry Stotts. It's not a great roster. It's on the GM, and really it's on the owner who wanted to keep all these guys signed. And so what they have to do now is they got to hit on draft picks, and they haven't really done that. I mean, God, how frustrating is it that Zach Collins can't sniff the court? There's all these rookies all over the league helping teams out. I mean, it's maddening because that was their chance. Their chance was that number. Well, they didn't have the number 11 pick. They traded up. Their chance was the draft where they had three first round picks in a big draft that everybody was jockeying for position. You had a chance to help your team, and not to say that they haven't. You can't bury Zach Collins yet. It's just frustrating that it's going
to
take this long.
He's got really, really good basketball instincts. He needed to stay for another year. Gonzaga would have been preseason top 10 if he had stayed, and he needed to bulk up. He's not ready for the physical rigors of the NBA. But the only way he's going to get there is if you play him. He's got to play 10 to 15 minutes a night, just get banged around, and you got to live through the growing pain.
It's not going to happen. Stotts doesn't like playing rookies, but that's the guy they got out of all these players. Like the Blazers, again, I don't want to talk about this. I want to get into college football.
Yes, sorry.
Because it's freaking not even December. The NBA has a long time to, there's I think the Blazers are going to be pretty good this year, and everybody's already griping about Stotts and what's wrong with it and this and that. Jesus, wait, just wait a couple of months. They're number two in the NBA in defense.
Defense is not their problem.
Well, but I think that if they can sustain their defensive effort, their offense will come around, and they'll be a pretty tough out. So just give them time. But think about this. Last year in February, there was a moment in time where they were three games from the worst record in the NBA. Three games. And yes, they pulled off the Nurkic trade. They rallied to the playoffs and got their ass kicked by Golden State. Was that all worth it? Or would you rather, in hindsight, go back and say, okay, we're only three games from worse in the NBA. Let's pull the plug on this bitch because we did that a couple of years ago. Don't think it's above Neil Olshey. I mean, he's always talking about, oh, you don't do that. He did it his first year with Terry Stotts. They pulled the plug. They played Aldridge sparingly, and they lost their last 13 games. What did that net them? That netted them C.J. McCollum. Pretty happy about that. You don't remember those 13 games, do you? You do know that you have C.J. McCollum. So why not pull the chute, tank, and what if the Blazers somehow had Jason Tatum right now? Would that be pretty nice?
Yep.
Could have happened. They had it. But, you know, whatever. They chose not to. So here we are with Zach Collins. And by the way, let me just state for the record, because I've already stated it, that guy's going to be garbage. It's not going to happen. It's just not going to happen. But, you know, of course, I'm not allowed to say that because it's too early. Give them time. It's not going to happen.
It may not happen in Portland.
They have had, see, Swigard, damn it, now you got me going.
We'll come back to it. Get your college football going.
Now, the Trailblazers, one more thing. The Trailblazers they actually haven't had a lot of draft picks, key draft picks, since the Oden. You know, they got Greg Oden. In whatever that was, it was 2007.
Oh, yeah.
You know, if you look at their draft history from that point on, and this has not all been Olshey, it's been different regimes, but they have had one top 10 pick, one, and Neil Olshey got it right, Damian Lillard. The other key picks that they have had four draft picks, top 10 to 15. So they've only had one top 10
Myers
pick.
Myers Leonard.
They've had four guys in between 10 and 15. That's it. It's since Oden. That's it. Yeah. Four. Myers Leonard.
CJ.
CJ McCollum.
Zach Collins.
How do you feel about those three? You feeling all right about that? Do you think that's about par for the course hit rate? Or like,
three?
Do you feel terrible about it? I don't feel good about that.
You got one hit.
But you got one
no hit and one incomplete.
Yes. But I think you've got two
no
hits.
Who's the fourth?
The fourth is Jared Bayless. They traded up to get Jared Bayless. So
he's still in the league, though.
I know, but he didn't do anything in Portland. So my point is,
wasn't he one of our summer league MVPs?
Blazers have a few of those.
They have several.
So my point is, they just have not done good enough in the draft.
Yeah, especially look at what San Antonio, what Golden State
yes.
has done, what the Milwaukee Bucks have done.
Yeah, you got to find the Draymond Greens. And everybody will
Quite
just
frankly,
dismiss.
That's the guy they need more. They do not have an agitator.
No. Well, I think they're trying to.
Nurkic wants to be, but he doesn't know how.
Swanigan, I think, could be that guy.
He doesn't have an edgy personality.
Jordan Bell was there. See, you got to find those guys. Yep. The good teams are finding those. They really are. And what you'll do is a lot of times you'll dismiss that and say, well, that's so hard to find. It's lucky. No, it's not.
No.
The good teams do it consistently.
Dig in and, yeah.
All right.
Know what you're looking for.
Enough about
Sorry,
those bros.
I totally derailed you. I apologize.
Yes, you did. Blazer talk on Thanksgiving. Come on. Anyway, see, you know what it is? It's all a ruse by you to avoid Apple Cup talk. Because that's what I wanted to talk about.
I'm stoked for the Apple Cup.
I am too. I think it's going to be great. I'm pulling for the Cougs, but and the main reason for that is Luke Falk has yet to beat UW, and UW's won four in a row over Mike Leach. You know what the scores of those games are? 45-17, 45-10, 31-13, and 27-17. It's not been close. And I don't know really what's plagued Washington State because, I mean, I remember watching the Apple Cup, but not as closely as probably some. I just feel like my instinct says that it's just it's up front, right? It's Washington has the big hog mollies, and Washington State doesn't. Like when Washington can rush three and get to the quarterback, that's tough. And so, you know, is it any different this year? I mean, the Dogs are, what are they, 10-point favorites?
Yeah, I thought that was crazy, a bit egregious.
Yeah, I think Washington State's good, man, but they're smaller.
Now, is Azeem done? Is he out of there?
I think he's done. It's been a weird year for him.
I think the biggest difference is...
By the way, they have Vonleh on Simmons.
Oops. I think the biggest difference will be the speed of the secondary for the Cougs, and there aren't, other than Pettis, if they can make sure not to get him loose. First of all, don't punt to him. Don't punt to him.
Taggart.
But then as a wide receiver, if they can keep him from getting an open space, I think their secondary can allow enough time for Hercules Mata'afa to totally disrupt and get in Browning's kitchen.
Well, you got to think that's going to be a good game, right?
Yeah.
I mean, Washington's not dominating teams. And Washington State's damn good.
Falk's just got to not get in his head.
Yeah. Well,
if
Washington State wins, then they are in the Pac-12 title game against USC. But if Washington wins, then Stanford will play USC in the title game. So a lot on the line in the Apple Cup. It's 5 o'clock on a Saturday night on Fox. Coming up next, Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix. We'll take a look at these latest college football playoff rankings. He will handicap Auburn, Alabama, or at least I'll ask him to. Who does he have in the Apple Cup? And more next on The Fan. All right, Dave Bartu, College Football Matrix. Where, sir, might you be for the Thanksgiving holiday, David?
I am 4 beers into Thanksgiving pre-funk down here in California.
Where are you? Where exactly?
Humboldt.
Oh, Northern California?
Northern, not Central California, which a lot of people refer to as Northern California, like right. San Francisco and Sacramento. No, that's Central California. Northern California, people have bumper stickers that say, get the U.S. out of Humboldt County.
Yeah, I think we've all driven through there right on our way to Central California. Now, do you have family there? What are you doing there?
Yeah. No, this is actually where I grew up. I'm in the bedroom where I was, 50 years ago, a little kid.
Mama and Papa Bartu still down there.
Yeah, they are. They got a house up in Eastern Washington, too, but they come down here for the holidays. And here's actually kind of a little side story, because I'm sure there's people listening right now, okay, that at some point in their life, they lost connectivity with a really good friend or a family member. Mm-hmm. And I haven't been down here in 14 years. I haven't been invited. My brother and I got into something, I'm not even sure what, but we didn't talk for over a decade.
No, boy.
And for everybody out there that's listening right now that has been in a situation where there's a little bit of sadness, even every day when they think about, hey, I've lost somebody and I wish I could reconnect, mm-hmm. I'm with you. I'll give you hope, because my brother and I hugged yesterday, and we've been talking all day today. And it's one of the best days of my life.
I love it. Dave, congrats. That's great, buddy. You got to bury the hatchet, you know?
You do?
All right. Well, can we talk college football? Or?
Yeah, we can go off the slightly emotional stuff.
I love it.
And go on to the civil skirmish.
The civil skirmish. That's what we're calling it now. You got Oregon big?
Yeah. I mean, it was a civil skirmish until Herbert came back. You know, and like we talked about last week, Herbert back. Look, you got a defense going into that game that was top 25 in yards per rush given up, top 25 in yards per pass given up. As long as the offense wasn't turning the ball over on the plus side of the 50, and you look at Arizona's defense, 106th in the country coming into that game. I mean, even the final score wasn't aided them. And you go into this football game, I think Oregon is a top 25 team. They're a top 15 offense with Herbert, probably top 10 offense with Herbert. And you have an Oregon State defense that is 127th this year in scoring efficiency on defense. It's what is it, a 21-point spread?
It's like 26 now.
It's just fugly.
Yeah.
It just is. You know, so I thought it was going to be a really close game. Oregon would win with Burmeister. Now, with Herbert in charge and a healthy Oregon, and Oregon State in the middle of a coaching search, which I hope goes the right direction. It shouldn't be a pretty game at all.
What about the Apple Cup? Who you got? The Cougs are, what, 10-point underdogs, I think.
I can't believe they're that big of underdogs. But at the same time, I mean, let's look at what, you know, Matrix is about. Coaching? I call the coaching pretty even here. I love Mike Leach and I love Peterson. Okay, they're both really good coaches. We don't have to throw either one under the bus here. But you look at the talent, Washington has way more talent. You look at the offensive scoring efficiency in favor of Washington. Defensive scoring efficiency, strongly in favor of Washington. You know, everything really points to the Huskies winning this football game. But you know something? I mean, is there somebody in the country that gets less credit than Mike Leach?
I agree. I agree with you.
You know, first Texas Tech, and I'll even admit, you know, at Texas Tech, I thought maybe some of it was a little witchcraft, you know, some bad Big 12 scheduling, some weak non-conference scheduling, but it was still solid coach effect. I didn't think he'd be able to do this at Washington State. Not only is recruiting better, but the team is consistently there. I'm amazed he's not one of the names on the list for, like, Tennessee or UCLA.
Yeah, and I'm with you. I think that all this talk about Dan Mullen cracks me up. I think Leach is better than Dan Mullen. He's just kind of weird, and he gets dismissed because
higher,
he's...
isn't it? His ceiling is higher. We can agree with that, okay? Dan Mullen is a really good risk for an athletic director because he doesn't have a low floor. He's got a really high floor, so he's not going to make anybody look bad. But what has he done extraordinary? You know, he got him into the top five. He's done some really, really good things. But I think Mike Leach is good enough with super talent. You know, you got to remember, Texas Tech, not even top 50 talent. Washington State, he started with talent in the 50s and 60s. Now it's in the high 40s. But Mullen's at least had top 25 talent his entire time there. And so I think with Mike Leach, you have a really high ceiling. I don't think you have a national championship kind of guy. But I don't think Tennessee or UCLA is a national championship kind of program. That's where a guy like him, I mean, and maybe I'm being selfish here. Maybe I'm being really selfish, but there's two guys in college football I'd love to see with top 15 talent once in their career for like 4 years,
mm-hmm.
Mike Leach and Bobby Petrino.
Yeah, Petrino's an interesting one too. That's a good point. Daybar 2, College Football Matrix. How close is this Auburn-Alabama game to you? What do you see there?
Well, look, I mean, the spread right now, I think this morning was sitting at 5. And if you look at these two teams, you look at Alabama from their offensive scoring efficiency and defensive the last 4 weeks, they're number 2 in the country in offense, number 2 in the country in defense. Auburn is number 22 and number 33. Okay, so that pans out to a 31-23 football game, but your typical home field advantage in college football is about 3.5 points. So you're talking 31-26.5. That's 4.5 points. The line's sitting at 5. I think the 5 is right in the middle. If you're going to bet Auburn, I think you need a touchdown or more. If you're going to bet Alabama, I'd like to be giving up a field goal or less. So if you're sitting there thinking about betting it, I would wait until tomorrow morning to see if there's any late line movement. But I would not want to be stuck in the middle between that 7 and 3.
Well, and that game too is until Saturday. But if you have 2-loss Auburn, 2-loss Ohio State, and they're conference champs, I'm assuming Auburn is in, Ohio State is not. Is that how you see it?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Because you look at the quality wins, you look at the top 25 wins, you look at the strength of schedule. Auburn has everything in their favor, everything in their favor in terms of that. So, you know, Ohio State, you know, look, they're right where they're supposed to be, but they lost at home to Oklahoma. You know, they just don't have the quality win and top 25 win profile. Now, they are the number 4 scoring offense in college football right now, behind Oklahoma, UCF, and Alabama. So they're a really, really good team in terms of that. But I think they have to have a lot of dominoes and a lot of help to get into the playoff right now.
How do you, I mean, I know we're not there yet, but the Clemson-Miami game, how do you see that going? Because that's a key one in the college football playoff race.
Oh, this one's brilliant, and because you look at these two teams, and they are the polar opposites of each other. Okay, Clemson. This is a huge bet right now. I don't even care what the line is. Bet the under.
Really?
Okay, just bet the under because year to date, you have the number 35 offense in Clemson versus my 21 offense in Miami. This is through last week, right?
Okay.
On defense, you have number 1 versus number 4. On defense. This is a huge defensive lean. And if you look at the last 4 weeks, It's number 6 defense and number 17 defense versus two offenses barely in the top 30. Mm. So I think it's a huge defensive matchup. Right now, neutral field, I got a 25.1 to 23.3 in favor of Clemson.
All right. Now, why all this talk of Willie Taggart wanting out of Oregon? I saw that you tweeted about this, and I thought it was a good tweet. It's like, I think, what'd you say, something of to the effect of, I don't know which is more ridiculous, one, that Taggart wants out, or two, that he's done anything to be coveted elsewhere.
Look, you know I've hammered Taggart, okay? I have hammered that guy. Before he was hired at Oregon, he's a B-plus recruiter. He's a D-minus coordinator and a head coach. He did a terrible job at the last two places in 8 years. Now people say, oh, he turned them around. South Florida was the number one recruiter in their conference the entire time he was there. They were Boise, they were Alabama, they were USC, they were Ohio State. I mean, they were Oklahoma. They shouldn't have been that bad except for 1 year. So now, granted, Oregon hired him. Okay, you made that decision. So in my opinion, is he hasn't done enough at Oregon to warrant being looked at for a better job, number one. And number two, it's a really good job.
Right.
Why would he be looking around?
I know.
How can, you know, if I'm Oregon fan, which I am, look, take my Matrix hat off, which hates everybody. Look, season ticket holder, I'm alum. You know, I mean, if this guy's actually looking around at other jobs, I'm pissed. Totally pissed. Because this is a program that's been to two national championship games this century. How many other programs can say that? And he's out looking for another job? Dude, that cannot be happening.
Yeah, I don't think it is. I really don't. I don't buy those reports. But you know what? You never know. Behind closed doors, you never know if he's happy, unhappy, whatever. But have we asked you who you think the Beavers should hire yet? Have we talked about that yet?
Ooh, we haven't. Now, and I can actually talk about that job because they haven't asked me for any oversight on that. A lot of the jobs I do is you have programs like an Oregon State with a search committee, but we act as oversight. We look at all the people they recommend and also recommend people that maybe aren't on their list. Okay, so throw some guys at me. Who have you been hearing? I'll give you just a straight-up opinion on anybody that you've heard them talk about, and I might even throw in somebody that you guys should be considering.
Bo Baldwin.
Okay, so awesome at Eastern Washington. Really don't have any numbers on that because – it doesn't have the data that you find on the, you know, NCAA FBS level. But he was awesome in Eastern Washington. At Cal, he's done an exceptional job with the offense and turning that around. I still say it's a really high risk because I'd like to see him have another year or two at Cal before you made that decision that this is the kind of guy that can run a P5 offense.
Mm-hmm.
But that being said, I think, you know, he might be a great fallback position for somebody – if other guys turn him down.
Jonathan Smith.
Washington?
Yeah.
I'd rather, if you're going to take a coordinator from Washington, take the defensive coordinator. He's the best in the West Coast, maybe the best in the country.
Yeah, nobody ever talks about that guy.
Yeah, why wouldn't you talk about Kajkowski? I mean, that was, you know, when Helfrich was out looking for a defensive coordinator, I'm like, back the truck up, dude. Take a pay cut. Give him $2 million a year. Get that guy. Do anything you can. And look what he's done. They lost what? Five? They're a mid-30s recruiter. They lost five guys to the NFL, and they're still top five in the country in defense right now. It's ridiculous.
Now, who would you throw in there?
Who would I throw in there? Okay. Well, I told you, Leavitt. Go get Leavitt. A lot of Oregon boosters wanted Leavitt. Kansas State wants Leavitt. Why not go get that guy? Okay, he's proven head coach. Look what he just did on defense. He's turned Oregon's defense around 180 degrees. Go get him. He's making, what, 1.3 at Oregon? Bring him over to Oregon State for 2.9, $3 million a year. I think that's a great hire. One guy nobody's talked about, okay? And we talked about Nui Matalolo on the triple option before. I think that would be very different, very good for Oregon State. Mm-hmm. But we were going through our numbers, and there was one guy that popped up a couple times that nobody has talked about. Okay, this is a guy that is power offense, runs it slow, keeps games close, improved the recruiting significantly at his last stop, was a plus coach effect guy. Now, he did get fired from his last job, and none of us on my staff could believe it because he did such a good job at Minnesota. Tracy Clays is somebody that you can get at Oregon State that I think would fit great for the kind of offense and defense people want to run out of their head coach.
Good stuff. Hey, thanks, Dave. Enjoy the time down there, and I'm glad you reconnected with your bro.
It was cool, and I hope anybody listening, I hope that gave them a little bit of hope that if they're feeling bad about it, sometimes we just got to, even though we're scared, we're always scared at a certain age, you got to go try to do something. So it did work out for me, and I appreciate that, but I hope it helps somebody else this Thanksgiving. Take it easy, buddy.
See you later. Dave Bartu, you got to love Bart. I thought he was going to yell at those damn kids, though. Sounded like Thanksgiving over there. But if you missed that at the start of the interview, he said that he hadn't seen or talked to his brother, had a falling out with his brother, and, you know, just hadn't seen him or talked to him in 14 years. And they finally reconnected. And so his advice to all of you, hey, bury the hatchet. Life's too short, man.
Oh, I know.
All right, coming up next. Hey, this is exciting. This is something we didn't plan on today, but we're going to do it. It is our PK80 betting guide.
Look, I got all my stats from my from the teams in the bracket right in front of me. Let's go.
Let's go. All right, PK80 starts tomorrow. Big college basketball tournament honoring Phil Knight. Now, I assume Phil is obligated to be courtside for all of these games.
I'm assuming, yes, he will be making the rounds. I'm curious how much airtime he will actually get. And then, obviously, he will have comfy courtside seats for his Ducks games.
Well, yeah, and this is why they're not playing on Saturday, right? So he can roll down to the people can roll down.
This
to the Civil
is
War.
Why they moved the Civil War game was originally scheduled for Friday this year.
Uh-huh.
It goes back and forth. The uh-huh. Civil War game was moved to Saturday,
to accommodate this
because a lot of the Thanksgiving tournaments will avoid playing on the Saturday because of all the college. It's traditional rivalry week. So the Pilots played in the Wooden Legacy Classic last year down in Anaheim, and it was a Thursday, Friday, Sunday schedule.
Uh-huh.
So, and obviously ESPN owns and runs this event, so all of their college football programming they don't want to step on. So,
gotcha. Well, it's cool, man. It's a great field. They're going to play 8 games Thursday, 8 games Friday, and 8 more games on Sunday. You have 4 teams that are currently in the top 10 in this tournament. North Carolina, Duke, Michigan State, and Florida is a top 10 team, and they're in this thing. So I didn't plan on this, but I want to do a betting guide with you, Swigard. I want to.
All right.
I'm not going to be doing anything tomorrow. Friday, we're going to be at PK80. We're going to be doing a show. But then on Sunday, I want to bet on these games. Let's have a little fun here.
Now, I haven't seen all of the teams. Obviously, focusing on the Pilots bracket.
Look, it's early.
Yep.
But Swigard's calling the UP game, so he has done a deep dive into these teams. Okay, so if I'm looking at the victory bracket here, the Pilots against North Carolina is the first game tomorrow at 11:30. And the spread I see, 26.5. Now, you probably can't comment. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to go homer play, and I'm going to take the Pilots.
Pilots have been solid defensively. The freshman point guards haven't turned it over a lot, as you would expect some. Now, granted, Pilots have played 2 NAIA teams. I'm not going to lie to you.
Well, they lost to Portland State, too.
They lost to Portland State. They had a 7-point lead with 2.5 minutes to go and did not score the rest of the way. Outscored 12-0.
All right. Then we've got Arkansas, Oklahoma now.
This might be the most entertaining game of the first day.
Based on what Vegas is saying, this is the closest game. Oklahoma is favored by 1. Lon Kruger against Mike Anderson.
Yeah. And for Oklahoma, they have the McDonald's All-American point guard, Trey Young, who's averaging 18.5 points, 11.5 assists in his first 2 collegiate games. This is going to be a track meet. I don't know why the over is only 161.
Ooh.
You're saying 81-80? These teams are going to light it up. So unless they just have a hard time shooting in the Moda Center because of the unfamiliar surroundings, this is going to get up and down.
Oh, yeah, you're right, man. I'm looking at Oklahoma. They've scored 108 points in both of their first 2 games. And then Arkansas, 101, 95, 83.
Arkansas has been playing the much better defense. They've been forcing turnovers in their opponents 18 a game.
All right,
so.
Good ball game. All right, so should we go with the star there? We'll go with Oklahoma on that. I'm going to go with the star player. Big shot late. And I really like Lon Kruger. I trust him. UConn, Oregon, spread 7.5 favored Ducks.
The Ducks are, the brush is working his magic. Those guys are playing defense. The offense, they've been slow starting offensively, but once they start to find the range, but he's got them playing defense and rebounding. So
that's what he does.
That's what he does.
What's UConn got? They don't have much.
They're in a transition. They haven't been able to put the program back together since old Shabazz there won him a national championship.
Yeah, Kevin Ollie's not great. I'm gonna go the brush all day. -7.5. Then we have DePaul, Michigan State. DePaul's in there because Georgetown backed out.
Yeah, Patrick Ewing got the gig there at Georgetown. He said, I don't want to go out there in my first coaching debut, my first big national game, and have it handed to me. So DePaul very kindly stepping in, but they will be no match whether Bridges plays or not.
Is he hurt?
He got hurt in the Duke game.
Miles Bridges? Uh-oh. Well, Michigan State's favored by 15.5 here.
Yeah.
What should I do?
Plus, well, they're all torqued off for losing that Duke game, so I think Izzo's going to have them extra cranked up.
Okay, so then you could get Michigan State, Oregon.
That'll be fun.
How about that?
You want to talk about two coaches telling everybody to bend your knees and rebound?
So we could get Michigan State, Oregon, and then the other side, we're looking at maybe North Carolina, Oklahoma. Man, that's good stuff. So Oregon could play. They could play UConn, Michigan State, and maybe North Carolina this weekend.
I think that was set up. It'll take an effort to beat Michigan State, but not out of the realm of possibility. And I think Dana Altman will really use that one. That'll be something he can build on later in the season at Pac-12 tournaments, NCAA tournament situations. But they'd love to see a rematch of the Final Four.
Well, it would seem to me that Michigan State's all about if Miles Bridges plays.
Yep.
Because that guy's a stud. Then we go the other bracket. The motion bracket is Portland State, Duke. Spread, 21. 3 touchdowns. I don't know. Is Portland State any good?
They're really athletic. They didn't shoot it that well, but they've got some veteran guys back, but not a lot in the middle. I don't know what they're going to do with Marvin Bagley.
God, the Dukies have already played 5 games.
So, and Coach K usually has his guys, they're more likely to just run you out of the gym. Because Roy will take his foot off the gas at some point. He'll start putting in all his bench guys.
All right, I'm going to go Duke. Butler, Texas. Ooh, this is good. Butler, let's see. Texas is favored by 1.5.
I haven't seen either of these two teams. And I'm not sure. I don't know what Butler's got cooking these days.
Yeah, I don't even know who the hell's their coach?
I think it was the guy, the former assistant to Stevens, who took over the program.
Yeah, what's his name?
I have no idea.
Yeah, all right. Well, this is one hell of a betting guide. We don't know anything about that game. Florida-Stanford. Florida.
Take Florida all day.
12.5.
Stanford's guards aren't going to be able to hang with the Gators' backcourt.
So Florida's legit, huh?
Yeah.
Because weren't they damn good last year, too?
Mm-hmm.
They must have a nice coach. Who the hell's their coach?
Oh, who?
Billy Donovan's top assistant?
Yeah, and I can't. Oh.
Is it that Mike White guy? Is that who it is?
I think so.
And then we have, you know what? I don't see a spread on this last game. We have Gonzaga playing Ohio State. What's Gonzaga doing this year?
They do not have the traditional dominant center that they've had in the past years. They were counting on that being Zach Collins this year. So they got Tilly is there, but they still have Josh Perkins is there. Jonathan Williams remains. They've got a sophomore now, Rui Hachimura. That's a
badass,
athletic, run up and down. So I don't know if they'll cover, but,
I don't see a spread. I don't know what's Ohio State got. Who the hell's their coach too? Good grief, man. It's way too early to be digging into college basketball.
Yeah.
Ohio State Gonzaga. Well, that could be a good game.
I would take the points in that game.
Well, what's the spread?
I didn't see one.
You're taking the points. You don't even know the spread. Let me see if I can find it.
Hang on.
So in that bracket, here's what I like in that bracket. I like Duke. Watch out for Texas. Watch out for Shaka Smart to come out humming. He's got a lot of good. He's got a lot of good young players, including a kid. I forget his name, but he's got a top 5 pick in next year's draft projected on that Texas team. I'm gonna go Duke, Gonzaga final. It's probably going to be Duke, Florida, though, right?
Probably.
That's what we should expect.
Yeah.
So we could have Duke, Florida, Michigan State, North Carolina, and those games would be Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday, the two title games.
Sign me up. You seen the NFL schedule? It's not that great. Saints,
no,
Rams.
The NFL schedule has like maybe two games that are worth anything.
Sign me up. Although I think it would be, you know, locally for butts and seats, you would want Oregon, North Carolina, and Gonzaga Duke. That'd be sweet too. But, you know, there is consolation. You know, all these teams play three games, so there could be some really good matchups on the
yeah, that's what they were looking for. A lot of those consolation games on Sunday, the third place games or the consolation games, great, great matchups, and that's why a lot of these schools wanted to come out, not just because they were Nike schools, but they were going to get some great action for all three games.
You know what I love from having grown up going to the old Big Eight tournament? The fun of events like this, to me, is the value of all the games. And yeah, there may be a dud or two, but you just wait 30 minutes and two more teams come out and warm up and lace them up. And it's just, there's so many games. Something fun is going to happen. Just sit back and wait for the next game. It's great.
Back when I grew up, we had the Far West Classic here, and it was an 8-team tournament. And so my parents, I'd get tickets every year for Christmas, and my parents would take me and a buddy down. They'd drop us off at the old Memorial Coliseum at, I don't know, 9 in the morning, come get us at 10 o'clock at night. And
so good.
And it was just, it was great. Oregon State would come up. That's back when the Idaho Vandals were could play some hoop. But you got Karl Malone came out with the Raging Cajuns one year. And so, it was just great. Just hoops all day.
Karl Malone. Well, it's PK80. It starts tomorrow. Games Friday, game Sunday, both Moda Center and over at Memorial Coliseum. We'll be there Friday with our show, so if you're there, stop by and give us a fist bump or something. And then Sunday looks like, I mean, there's some good teams, man. You got some of the best coaches in college basketball in town with Roy Williams and Coach K and Few and Altman and Izzo and all these guys. It should be good. All right, coming up next, back to football. It is 4:49 on The Fan.
Yeah.
If you're wondering where Big Sook is today, he is out sick. Powered through it yesterday, but he went down. I think the flu, I don't know if he has the flu, but I think it's starting. I am bound to determine not to get sick this year.
That'd be a first for you. You usually catch whatever's floating around.
I do. You know what? I was at the doctor the other day, Jason, and this is an ear, nose, and throat specialist because I'd been dealing with some vertigo.
Yeah, that's going around too.
Wait, what?
My sister-in-law has been battling.
Really?
Vertigo. Yeah, it's just, it's bad. It's awful.
Horrible.
Yes.
Debilitating. You don't want vertigo.
No.
But mine wasn't too bad. Mine was more of an inner ear infection, it sounds like.
Oh, okay.
And I had to do all these tests and crap, and he determined, you know, we could probably scan your brain, but I think we pretty much found it. You got an inner ear infection, and your body, what happens is it gets in there and it attacks the little parts of your ear that control your
equilibrium.
Yeah, your balance. And it's weird. It throws your eyes. Very, very weird sensation. But I was talking to him and I said, hey, is this an immune system thing? Because, you know, I don't have a very good immune system. And he goes, well, what makes you say that? And I said, well, when I was in high school or when I was in college, I had mono, strep, and shingles all at the same time. And the doctor in college said, your immune system will probably never be the same. And this is the first doctor that said to me, he goes, I don't agree with that at all.
So there's hope for you.
He said, you don't have a bad immune system. He said, you actually have a very healthy immune system that is working because sometimes people with better immune systems go down harder than others because their immune system is attacking,
viruses.
Viri or whatever.
Bacteria.
Bacteriums.
Yeah.
Whatever you call them. So he almost convinced me. At least, I mean, it sounded good on paper. I'm like, oh, great. But I don't know if I believe him. But he said that no. He goes, I'm the same way. He goes, my kids rebound in a couple of days. I'm down for a week. It's because I have a better immune system. Theirs is still building. It's like he likened it to the old flu back in the day where the old people and the youngs didn't die. The people with good immune systems died. I don't know what his point was with that, but
I don't know.
Anyway, Sook is sick, and I am bound to determine not to get sick. So I'm here for you. We're out tomorrow for Thanksgiving, but we'll be at PK80 on Friday. Hopefully, Sook will be back. Now, here's what we have coming up: we have some Civil War talk at 5:15. We're going to play some Mike Leach audio at 5:30, talk a little bit about Mike Leach. And if we have time, maybe sneak in some NFL, but it's mostly going to be college football rivalry weekend coming up in our next hour. And then next, we have our Hot 5 at 5. Now, we've got some quarterback news out of the NFL. We'll get you updated on Blazers, Sixers. And, man, the coaching carousel in college football is really the big story. A lot to catch you up on there. So we'll get to all that when we return here on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.